Imagine California with no landmarks from before 1848 and no structures dating to the Spanish and Mexican periods. How different might the state be were it not for the efforts of some women determined to stop the erasure of the past? That might be the reality today.
Frontier Podcast is dedicated to helping you explore the Golden State's unique history, culture, and environment. I'm Damian Bassage, and I'm your host.
The first roads in the Californias were built beginning at the end of the 17th century, when the Jesuit order was in charge of establishing missions in Baja California. At the time, it was just known as California. The original El Camino Real ran eventually north from Loreto, the capital of Baja California, in the southern part of the peninsula, to Monterrey in Alta or Nueva California, after that part of the territory had been opened up in 1769. It was the official road running between the two capitals of Spanish California, and hence it was called the Royal Road or El Camino Real. By 1823, though, California had become part of the newly independent Mexican Republic, and so the name Camino Real or Royal Road was retired. In the 1830s, as you've heard in other podcasts, the Mexican government secularized the missions and transferred them to appointed administrators. Almost no effort was made to preserve the mission churches or other structures. Tiles and building materials were removed for use on houses or municipal buildings. Soon, unprotected adobe walls began to suffer the effects of time and weather. And the missions weren't the only vanishing artifacts. The system of trails and roads that linked the missions, the presidios, and the pueblos had almost become useless in some places. In other places, it had practically disappeared. El Camino Real, which had been in use for over 100 years, seemed destined to disintegrate. By the end of the 19th century, some Californians worried that the state's unique historical features, especially those connected to its Spanish and Mexican past, were being lost. Nothing was done until an enterprising Pasadena woman named Anna Pritcher got involved. In his book, California's El Camino Real and Its Historic Bells, author Max Carrillo tells her story. Anna Pritcher was a lover of history and active in civic organizations. She believed that the decaying missions and other buildings were the most important art treasures in the state of California. But for Anna, the key to preserving the Spanish heritage of California for future generations was saving El Camino Real. She saw the missions as connecting points along the Camino. So she created a 5-point plan for securing the highway, one that would take into account the growing use of the new machine known as the automobile. Pritcher presented her plan to two key women's organizations in California: the General Federation of Women's Clubs, the GFWC, and the Native Daughters of the Golden West, NDGW. After hearing her pitch, both groups decided to back the plan. For a decade, Pritcher worked with the GFWC and the NDGW to gather support for her El Camino Real plan, as it was known. But in 1902, she fell ill. She commended the work to a woman named Harry Rebecca Piper Forbes, also known as Mrs. A.S.C. Forbes. Forbes was already known for having discovered the original copy of the Treaty of Cahuenga. The Treaty of Cahuenga was a document signed between Californios and the U.S. government after a battle that took place in January of 1847, when the city of Los Angeles, or the Pueblo of Los Angeles, fell to the U.S. So the treaty, or capitulation, was signed at a place called Campo de Cahuenga, which is today's Universal City. The agreement that was signed ended the fighting. Mrs. Forbes soon took up the mantle from Anna Pitcher and began working with these clubs to carry forward the project. Over the coming years, they set out marking out what they could identify as El Camino Real. They also worked at setting safety standards for all California roads. Thanks to the efforts of the women's clubs, in 1910, California Highway 2 was designated as El Camino Real. By the end of 1920, it was actually possible to drive the entire distance, with a few unpaved spots, from San Diego to Sonoma. Highway 2 later became Highway 101, and it's still called that today. Although it was successful, the push to preserve El Camino Real was not without its early critics. One of them was Charles Fletcher Loomis. Loomis was a supporter of mission restoration and Native American rights, and he later founded the Southwest Museum. But in 1904, he wrote that the movement lacked the right sort of leadership. Quote, "While it is now high time for men to take hold who know what's what, 80% of this whole Camino Real momentum is due to women." Unquote. Although Loomis felt the project was flawed because women ran it, there were plenty of Anglo-Americans who did not like the idea of marking the El Camino Real or the missions at all. As author Phoebe Krupp details in her book, California Vieja, Culture and Memory in a Modern American Place, by the end of the 19th century, many Americans saw the old missions as bizarre foreign artifacts in a modern America. At the same time, anti-Hispanic feeling was very high among Americans, thanks in part to the Spanish-American War. They saw the war as a way to rid the world of Spanish colonialism, and the missions were symbols of that same colonialism. In an 1897 article in the literary journal Overland Monthly, they described the missions as citadels of tyranny and argued against preserving them. Nevertheless, with America's victory in the war, Spain was now a vanquished foe, and things Hispanic were seen as no longer threatening. Opposition to commemorating El Camino Real and the missions became less intense. Soon, the idea of marking El Camino Real with bells began to take shape. In 1906, the Los Angeles section of the El Camino Real Association proposed creating a distinctive emblem at certain points along the highway. Mrs. Forbes suggested bells. Forbes came up with a design for the markers, and in 1906, the first El Camino Real bell was installed. Its location was outside the historic Plaza Church in Los Angeles, whose bells had served as Mrs. Forbes' model. Soon, localities were installing bell markers along El Camino Real. By 1910, 90 bells were installed along the highway. Thanks to Mrs. Forbes' enthusiasm, throughout the early 20th century, the bells took on a life of their own, springing up all throughout the state. Forbes and her husband even started their own foundry, the California Bell Company, though most of those were small, souvenir-sized replica bells. The company still exists to this day, under different ownership. The bells rapidly became synonymous with California's image, but no one made a provision for their upkeep. So the women's clubs worked to persuade the Southern California Automobile Club and the California State Automobile Club to help maintain the bells. In 1912, the American Automobile Association, or AAA, published a series of maps for sections of El Camino Real. These became the basis of the famous AAA map service for California roads. With time, El Camino Real and its bells came to symbolize California's Hispanic past. In 1963, the California Historical Landmarks Advisory Committee approved the dedication of two plaques commemorating Alta California's El Camino Real and Junipero Serra's specific role with it. One was installed at Mission San Francisco de Assis, or Mission Dolores, in the city of San Francisco, and the other at Mission San Diego de Alcalá in San Diego. The northern and southern endpoints of the highway in Alta California during Junipero Serra's time. The commission also granted each county along El Camino Real its own plaque. It would be located at the most significant site within its boundaries. In 1996, the California Department of Transportation, or Caltrans, Landscape Architecture Program began restoring the Mission Bell markers between San Diego and San Francisco. They completed the project in 2005 with help from a $1.4 million federal grant. Over the years, enthusiasm for the El Camino Real bells has ebbed and flowed. The winds of politics and public opinion blow in different directions, and the future of the bells is hard to predict. But the story of El Camino Real and its bells teaches us one thing, that the way history is preserved and interpreted is often the work of a few dedicated, passionate, and well-organized individuals. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the California Frontier Show. If you'd like to support the show, the best thing to do is to let other people know about it. If you'd like to support it monetarily, there are a couple ways of doing that. One is by scrolling down in your podcast app to where it says support the show. There you can become a subscriber for as little as $3 a month. And if you want to give a one-time donation, just below you'll see where it says give a one-time donation. Finally, the show is supported by California History Teachers, which is a full year of lessons for fourth grade California history and social studies. You can find out more at www.californiahistoryteachers.com. And if you input the coupon code PODCAST, you'll receive 25% off your monthly or annual subscription. So check it out.